In our gospel for today, we have a beautiful expression of our collect. And let me read again part of the collect. O God, whose providence never fails in its design, keep from us, we humbly beseech you, all that might harm us, and grant all that works for our good. So let's think about that collect in relation to our gospel. The first part, O God, whose providence never fails in its design. Now, thankfully, God is God and I'm not, because I wouldn't do it the way God does it. When you think about God's providence, this has to do with the way he orders our lives and orders the work of salvation. And if we read carefully the gospel for today, God's providence chose this incredibly motley crew. I mean, I wouldn't have chosen these 12. You've got someone like Simon, of course, whose name is Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, whose names are sons of thunder. In other words, these boys had tempers, and they were probably a couple of guys in the 12. Oh, here they go again. There's that James, there's that John, kind of losing it. Then on top of that, you've got Andrew, of course, the brother of Simon. You've got this man named Bartholomew. You've got a tax collector. You've got a zealot. In other words, he would have been a Jewish revolutionary. And then you have Judas Iscariot, who is going to betray Jesus. The providence of God, it's absolutely remarkable. Maybe some of you have had the opportunity to see this show that's online called The Chosen. The Chosen has now had over 71 million viewers. And one of the things that The Chosen really focuses on are the chosen, that is, the 12. And you see the interaction between the apostles in a way that they come to life. And here's the remarkable thing about the providence of God. Thankfully, the providence of God is not primarily based on the qualification on those whom he calls. The providence of God is based on God. And here's the thing that we see about his providence. Again, going back to our call it. We humbly beseech you that you would keep from us all that could harm us and grant all that works for our good. Keep from us all that can harm us, and give to us all that will work for our good. Again, when we look at the gospel, we see that Jesus goes up onto the mountain. And of course, this is reminiscent of Moses going up onto Mount Sinai, where he is close to God. And from the mountain, listen to what Mark tells us. And he called to him, those whom he wanted. He called. This is a key word in the Bible. In the Greek, it's the word kaleo. And when you put an ek on front of it, you get the word ekkaleo, from which you get the word ekklesia, which is the Greek word for church. So, here's the thing. Jesus calls to him those whom he wants to be with him. And that's all of us who are here today. We have been called by Jesus. And in a particular way, whenever we come to Mass, we are going up the mountain with Jesus. Now, in order to keep us from harm and in order to grant us all that is good, Jesus then does a very particular thing. He calls all of us, but then from all of us, he calls this particular group of 12. And listen to what St. Mark says. He appointed 12 whom he named apostles. And of course, the word apostle means those who are sent then into the world. And there are three dimensions to the apostles' relationship with our Lord. That they are to be with him. And then he sent them out to proclaim the message. And to have authority to cast out demons. So let me just think about these for a minute. The apostles, in a particular way, of course, are the bishops of the church because they are the successors of this original group who are then sent out into the world. But under the bishops, there are the priests and the deacons, and then, of course, most importantly, the lay faithful. And the very first thing that Mark emphasizes is that the apostles are to be with Jesus. And that's key. Because it's as we spend that time with the Lord, then he's able to take this motley crew and he is able to touch us and change us and transform us. As a priest, this takes on particular meaning in my own life. In the busyness of ministry, I can forget what is most fundamental, and that is for me to be with Jesus. And so I know that in my own life, I need to be very intentional in cultivating time for prayer, to begin each day, not with going to my computer and looking at my emails, but to go to the Bible and to spend time with Jesus. And of course, at the very heart of being with Jesus, again, as a priest, is to celebrate the Mass, to make Jesus present to you. And I want to say, I celebrate with you this wonderful gift that we have, that you choose to come at the beginning of the day so that being with Jesus is more important than anything else, or it informs everything else. That's perhaps the way to put it. That to be with Jesus informs the rest of how we spend the day. What else does St. Mark tell us? Well, he sent them to proclaim the message, the very thing Jesus did, to proclaim the message. That is, to proclaim the good news of the gospel of grace within the context of the world in which we live. Now, again, remember this is Mark's gospel. And Mark was written from the center of the most powerful empire that the world had ever known. The Gospel of Mark was written in Rome around the time of Nero, the emperor. And here's the point that St. Mark is making, that the message of the gospel is always a countermessage to the message of the world in which we live. It was so with our Lord, it was so with Mark writing from Rome, and it's so today. But here's one of the amazing things about proclaiming the gospel in the 21st century. The use of social media, the use of the internet in order to get that message out. Do you know that the most listened to podcast at the beginning of 2021 is Father Mike Schmidt's Reading Through the Bible? More people are listening to that podcast than to any other podcast. And as I mentioned before, 71 million people to date having watched The Chosen. So here's the good news of the gospel. People want the good news. And so we are called to be a people of the message. Of course, particularly the bishops, and particularly those called to the vocation of priesthood and deacons, because of the particular way in which Jesus has entrusted to us the gospel. And then thirdly, to have authority to cast out demons. As we read through the Gospel of Mark, we're going to see this repeatedly, that Jesus has authority over the demons and the demonic realm. And here's what we want to understand about this, and something that the church is rearticulating in our own day, that the demonic is in league, of course, with the devil. That is what is diabolical. And the word diabolos means to tear apart, to disintegrate, to rip. And that's what the demonic always seeks to do. It seeks to divide and to separate and to disintegrate. And that the work of the gospel, the work of the church, is the exact opposite. That's why we're called Catholic. What does the word Catholic mean? It means to be integrated. It means to be part of the whole. And let me conclude my homily with sharing something personal. The bishop has asked me to assume a new ministry in our diocese. That is to be the chair of the Spiritual Discernment Committee. And the work of the Discernment Committee particularly pertains to this third dimension of ministry, to discern how, when people approach the diocese, there might be the influence of the demonic in their lives. And so to that end, one of the things that the bishop has asked me to do is to take a course that is being run by what's called the Leo XIII Institute. It's a 120-hour-long course that has readings that are accompanying it, whereby I am learning more and more about this whole dimension of priestly ministry and how the church in the 21st century doesn't only need to proclaim by word, but with the authority of Jesus to be able to confront the reality of the demonic so that people can discover a deeper liberation. So in conclusion, may we celebrate the wonderful truth that God in his providence is called the motley crew that includes names like yours and mine in the list of those that he calls to himself. But this is so we can discover what it is to be protected from all that can harm us, so that he would work for good in our lives and use us to work for good in the lives of others. We thank you for the church, Lord. We thank you for the apostles, that we are to learn to be with you, to proclaim the message, and to have authority to cast out demons.